enjoy the Heritage Strings singing. Amen. And Miss Abigail, that was awesome. Enjoyed that song very much. I enjoy your playing the flute as well. Very, very nice. God has blessed us, hasn't he? Tremendous, tremendous musicians and singers. And sure makes for a better service, right? I thought this morning went terrific for our first go around of an HCA Sunday. And a few changes we'll make next year, but very little. That just was so, the kids did great. And I thought Miss Ansley just stole the show and everybody else. It was awesome. And so we'll look forward again next year. Some of the things I didn't cover this morning, I had a lot more I wanted to say. But one of the things I wanted to make clear that we don't talk about the school every Sunday. We're very careful not to do that. And it's one of our ministries. And certainly we want to be careful. Number two, we don't think the Christian school kids are any more important than the public school kids and the homeschool kids. And at our church, we're going to be very careful to make sure that there's never a separation. You say, well, why are you saying that, preacher? Because in other churches, it is a problem. And I've seen it happen in other churches. And so we want to be very careful. And all our kids are special. All our kids are here tonight. And that's why I tried to clarify this morning. I know we have 4, 5, 6 public school teachers in our church. And man, we're thankful for their salt and for them being in the school systems. And we certainly want to be of help. As we go forward with the Christian school, we want to be a help to our homeschoolers. We homeschooled our kids. We've had our kids in Christian school. And as we go forward, we want the school to be a blessing to the homeschoolers and allow them to participate in some of the events and some of those things and sports, but also in the fine arts and just the other areas that we can help come alongside that family who wants to homeschool their kids. And that's a great option. Me and my wife loved that option, and especially when our kids were smaller. And it was good for us. And so I don't have a huge issue with any of them. The public school system now, that's a whole other thing. But I do think there is some legitimacy to saying that we need some salt in the system. I just don't want my kids to be the salt. I'm just being honest with you. Now, if I can at all help it. But God's good, and God has called us to be a light in a dark place. And I just praise the Lord for our kids and for you families who have and are going by way of education, raising your kids, and we're here to help if we can. Whether it's we have the clubs at the high school and the various clubs in the public school system, and so we are going to continue to do all those things and reach out to every family, whatever phase, whatever area that they're educating their kids, and try to be a blessing. All right. We appreciate Brother Scott. I think this is his third message to preach to us. And the first one was a little iffy. The second one, the last one, I actually remember some of it. It was pretty good. Been with us almost a year. And we want to reiterate as the church staff, that we all married up. That all of our wives are fantastic. And I'm glad. I'm just really helping Brother Scott out tonight. Ms. Tramar, you are amazing, and we're so glad to have you in our church. Brother Scott, you come preach for us.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Excellent. I'm excited. Yes. Love that. It's phenomenal, isn't it? He says it every time about Ms. Tramar. How many has never heard me preach before? Excellent. Well, put your seatbelt on. And then take away your unoffended garments and put them away, because tonight's going to be fantastic. I'm excited. I love preaching. When Pastor interviewed me, I told him, I'm not a school guy. I'm a preacher. I've just been stuck in school for so long because I'm that ignorant. And so I have to keep learning. All right? I need you to help me tonight, because Pastor already told me I got to be done at 5 till. That's 30 minutes from right now. And I've already promised my friends I'd be done in 28 minutes. But last time I preached, I told you there were 10 things about Heritage Baptist Church that I've learned in my short time here. Pastor said almost a year. It's been 9 months I've been here. And there's some things that you people do that other churches don't do. Would y'all like to know a couple of them? If you would, just raise your hand, just so, because I don't know if you do or not. There's 3 of them I brought today. All right, here we go. Since you asked for it, it ain't my fault. Don't you get offended. Number 3. Don't you dare. Don't even try. Don't even think about it. Trust me, you don't want to do it. You do not want to run in the hallways of Heritage Baptist Church. Because if you do, there's this giant foot that will stop you. And you all know who I'm talking about. I don't like to name names in the auditorium or nothing, Miss Tanya. But you don't want to do that. No, sir. About 6 months ago, I had to go to the restroom real bad. I know I'm trying to be, you know, and I was running through the hallway by myself during school time. And I got through the door, and this giant foot came out of heaven and tripped me. Boom! And while I'm laying on the floor, and I'll show you my knees, but I don't want to get fired. There's still a mark there because, you know. I sat there and I thought, Miss Tanya tripped me from upstairs. Just so you know, don't do that. Don't run in the hallways here because they'll trip you. Number two, every one of you beside my friend, my only friend in the whole building. Where's Miss Day at? Where's she at? Miss Reed, where's she at? Okay, I can see. Oh, there she is. She's the only one that loves me. All the rest of you are premeditated murderers. And you laugh at me because we sit in staff meetings. The first one I ever been in, they're like, well, we're going to do the banana thing at the rodeo. So we're going to put Brother Scott out there and feed him all these bananas, a known diabetic. So we get out there and I put a blindfold on. They're feeding me these things. I could see a little bit. And I was looking to see what I was eating. I could see it was bananas. Not the perfect food for you know, people like myself. I kept shoving them in, and then Kelly Clark kept talking about me racing Brother Juan. But they talked about it in the staff meeting, who are we going to do the banana thing to? And I'm like, I don't know. What I should have done, and I should have known before, is eat these bananas and start foaming at the mouth and fall down on the ground. That way all of y'all would have felt bad. Bunch of premeditated murderers. So don't. Remember, Heritage Baptist Church loves you. So if you're a new member here, just know, I just let the cat out of the bag. Number one, Heritage Baptist Church thing I've learned in 9 months being here. Everything that we do, every ministry, every soul winning, every choir practice, every Sunday school meeting must involve food. They're going to have a feast every time. It don't matter. It could be guns, it could be, I mean, there's going to be food. Five-layer burritos, that's three of them for you, Heritage Baptist Church in 9 months. Take your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I got seven more, but I'm not going to go over those to you. I did give them to Caleb down there in California. He wanted them all. So, but those are three that I thought you guys would enjoy. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Tonight I'm going to share my heart with you just for a little bit. I want you to know that I love these kids over here on this side. All right, before we get started, what I want you to do is I want all the school-age kids just stand. That's what I want you to do. Just stand for me real fast. Go ahead and stand. I've said it three times now. I mean, I know you can hear me. All right, now crowd, I want you to look over at these people. And then you people, I want you to look over at these people. Now, anybody that's sitting down, if you've had any Christian education in your life, whether you went to a Christian school or you're homeschooled, would you just raise your hand? Okay. That's about half. Now I want you to look at the people raising their hands. Okay? There's a lot of them that don't have their hands raised because they didn't have Christian education. Now, most of you have been raised up in church, right? What makes us different than the folks that didn't get to go? What makes you guys any more special? You know, Pastor said we got some special ones, and Brother Jesse would say we got some special ones, don't we? Major special children. All right, you may sit down. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I'll go quick if you'll listen quick. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and we'll start in verse number 4. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel." Now, when we talk about Israel, when I teach a Bible class to these kids, I try to make it relevant to them. I try to bring the Bible alive to them. I try to make it personal to them. When they say Israel, that's talking about God's chosen what? People. We are God's chosen people. So when the Bible is written way back a long time ago, it's talking to us. So when it says, hear, O Israel, what it means is, hey, hear, O heritage. Listen to me now, because I got something I'm going to say, and I want you to hear about it. Look what verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. It doesn't get any clearer than that. We are supposed to teach them what God told us to hear about. We are supposed to make sure that they are getting Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 4. That is the academy. That is our Christian education. That is our responsibility as a church to teach these young people. It ain't anybody else's responsibility. It's ours. God said, teach them diligently. That's us teaching them. Our responsibility, not the world's. We cannot negate the responsibility that God has given us. Let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. Father, I pray you guide my mouth. Guide the words that come out of my mouth tonight, Lord, that God say exactly what needs to be said, exactly what you want said tonight. Lord, to help the folks here that are sitting and encourage them with loving our children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to preach a message entitled Treasured Investments. Many of you adults have invested in some things. You've invested in stocks and bonds, and some of you have even invested in people. Our goal tonight is to get you to understand that there are some treasures out there. And I'm not talking about the gold and the silver and your bank account and all the stuff that you have or the car and the house. I'm talking about the treasures being our children. So as I talk about treasures tonight, I want you to take your focus and put that on our children and on the kids of the church. Now, there are a lot of grandmas and grandpas on here that don't have any kids. There's many kids that can be adopted by you in this church. It is still our responsibility to take care of these young people, whether they have your last name or don't have your last name. A few years ago, a pastor died, and he got up in the pulpit, and a couple weeks before he died, he said, I want to thank the church for helping me raise my children. I thought that was phenomenal. You know, we've heard Hillary Clinton say, well, it takes a village. Let me tell you something. It takes a church to raise our children. It takes other people in our church to help us raise our children. Don't get upset. Don't get mad when somebody corrects your child. You ought to feel proud about that. They corrected my child, and they were able to come to me and tell me that they corrected my child. That means I'm approachable. That means that my kids are not perfect. You ought to feel, that's awesome. Now let me go spank my child. But some of us get offended. Oh, well, your child did it. Hey, don't be confused or when people do wrong. Be happy when they do right. They're children. They're going to mess up. He said, teach them. Hear what I'm trying to tell you. He said, the first thing tonight I want you to see is preparing your treasured investments. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 34, there was a young king. He was 8 years old. Anybody know his name? Josiah. And Josiah said in 2 Chronicles chapter number 34, if you want to flip over there, we'll read that verse really fast. You don't have to. I'll be getting there quicker than you. 2 Chronicles chapter number 34. Some of you guys already beat me. Who's there? Say amen. Excellent. 2 Chronicles chapter number 34, verses 1 and 2. Let's get you guys all nervous. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was what? Right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his what? Father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. There was a young boy that listened to who? Not his direct father, but Father David. Listen, we're trying to get these young people to listen to what we're trying to tell them. We've been there. We've done that. We got the t-shirt. You guys seen that before. We want them to understand, learn from our mistakes. Listen, young people, your parents are not perfect. They're going to make mistakes, and that's why they're wiser than you. We want to make sure that you're like a Josiah that's 8 years old that did right in the sight of God. We're trying to teach you in the right way. David, in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, verse number 17, he did exactly what his dad told him to do. You go down and take this bread and this cheese down to your brothers that are at war against Goliath and the Philistines. And David did exactly what his dad told him to do. We want our kids to obey what we tell them to do. Is that acceptable, young people? Sure it is. When an adult, an authority, tells you what to do, you should do what? Let me hear you. You should do it. Say, yes, sir. I think your dad's taught you to say, yes, sir. No, sir. You do what you're told. David was told by his dad to do something, and he did it. He did it. Number three, not only David, take your Bibles, if you would, to Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel chapter number 1. There's only 9 passages I'm going to make you change to, so you'll stay with me. Daniel chapter number 1, verse number 3. The Bible tells us here in Daniel chapter number 1, verse number 3, that... Let me find it. And the king spake unto Asphanaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain children of Israel, of the king's seed, and of the princesses. Children in whom was no what? Hey, if you help me out a little bit, it'll help me go faster. You know, because pastor got a time limit, you know. Okay? I'm not like Miss Tramore, all perfect and stuff. You just sit there and smile all you want, because you know when we get home. Snap. Children and who no blemish, but well what? I don't care what people think about my children. Well, you better care. Children, you better not wake up and say, I don't care what people think about me. I am who I am, and this is just who I am. No, you better care that they think that you're well-favored, that you should be liked. I don't care if nobody likes me or not. Well, you ought to. Well, it says right here in the Bible. He said, well-favored. Look at, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science. Where's Mike at? You like that science, do you, Micah? Remember on the report card in the first period, you didn't do your science report? Woo! I don't forget about a thing, do I? They said you need to be good in science. You know the Bible, people say, oh, you need to forgive and forget. Yeah, not a principle. Do your science report. Praise God. Anyways. And such the ability to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach in the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine that he drank, and so nursing them for 3 years. And at the end thereof, they might stand before the king. These boys, they got taken from captivity. They were over there in Judah, and they were brought over to Babylon, and they put them in the king's court. They're standing there and doing some things. Now, they said that these guys were great. They flip over one page and go to the very end of the chapter in verse number 19. And it said, the king commanded them, among them there was found none, like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore stood in the king's, verse number 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king acquired of them, he found them what? 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers, and all of his realm. They didn't get to Judah. They didn't get to Babylon captive and then standing there and all of a sudden learn all these things. They didn't arrive there and say, hey, you know, we're just going to learn all these things. They didn't teach them that there in Babylon. Guess where they learned it? They learned it when they were in Judah. When they were young people and God had told parents in Judah to raise these boys, and they raised the boys right. And so when it came time for them to be captive, that they walked over in Babylon, and they were 10 times better than anybody else. Because good godly moms and dads from Judah taught their kids the right way. So let me make it a little personal to you. We're here at Heritage Baptist Church, and we're raising these children for God. So that when they get out of the church, they don't fall on their face when they're on their own. We have to teach them. They don't automatically just come out of this church and are godly kids and in nature and science and can stand in the king's palace. They don't just automatically come to them. We have to teach them. It's our responsibility. Thank God for moms and dads of Judah that taught their children. Use that, raise your hand, and use that grew up in church. Let me tell you something. You ought to be thankful for good godly parents. You ought to get on the phone and say, Mom and Dad, thank you for investing into me when I was a little kid. I had to go to public school for 2 weeks of my life. My mom and dad couldn't pay the school bill. So all 5 of us kids had to go to public school. And I remember standing there. I didn't understand it when I was a little kid. How do we got to stand here, Mom and Dad, that we have to go to public school? My mom and dad worked very hard to put 5 kids through Christian school. That's a lot of money. So my senior speech, I added up all the money that it cost my mom and dad to get me through Christian school. Almost $100,000. That they invested in me and my brothers and sisters to put me through a Christian school. Do you know what you can buy for $100,000? But they decided that their treasure was not in a house, and their treasure wasn't in a Cadillac, but it was in their children. We as Heritage Baptist Church need to realize we need to have our treasures in our children. You don't believe me. That's okay. I got four amens. I'm glad that happens. But let me prove it to you through the scripture. Preparing your treasure. Listen to me. You better teach them now while they're in Judah. Because if you don't, they're going to get to Babylon. It's going to be in trouble. It's our job. We better do it. Protecting, first of all, preparing your treasured investment. Number two, protecting your treasured investment. Take your Bibles to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 42. And I saw this afternoon, and I'm so glad that I was reading the Bible and preparing and praying this afternoon for this. And Mark chapter number 9, because I didn't have this in here. And I'm so glad that I came across it. Because three times, the Lord just made it very clear to me. If you don't prepare your children, are you ready? Well, what happens, Brother Trangmar, if we don't decide to prepare our children here at Heritage Baptist Church? If we don't prepare them for the real world, let me show you what's going to happen. You ready? Three times. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 42. And whosoever, guess who's the whosoever? That's you and me. You can put your name in there. Let me put my name in there. And Scott shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me. It is better for him, Scott, that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the what? Hold, man, it don't get much clearer than that. Well, Brother Scott, what happens if I don't want to invest in my treasures? And if I don't care about my treasures, guess what? It's better off me being drowned at the bottom of the sea. Okay, well, you don't believe me. Well, I'll show you another one. Luke chapter number 17, verse number 2. Some of you just looking at me like, I don't know. I didn't believe it the first time. Well, let me show it to you a second time. I've learned that from being married. You got to tell me three or four times before I get it. Number 2, 17, verse number 2. It is, if it were, better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Okay, well, some of you are like, well, two times. One time, first time, blame me. Second time, blame. Matthew chapter number 18. Come on, go there. Matthew chapter number 18. If you don't believe me, you can look it up later. I promise you I'm reading right from the King James Version of the Bible. Thought I'd get an amen with that, but I don't know, Pastor. I don't know about the King James. I don't know what's going on around here. Matthew chapter number 18. Look what it says. Verse number 6. It's going to be very familiar to you when we read it. You ready? Who's ready? Yeah. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Matthew puts a little bit more onto it. So let me be very clear with you. We showed you three times what happens if you don't protect the treasure that God has given you. I'm not talking about your house. I ain't talking about your car. I ain't talking about your bank account. I'm talking about the kids that are sitting in our church that are our treasures. Whether they're your children or not your children, we better not offend them. We better be there for them. We better teach them in the right way. Take your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. We're going to talk about protecting our children. 11 minutes. Hang on. Tighten the seatbelt. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 19. The Bible says, lay up for your treasures, lay up for yourselves treasures upon where? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves what? Treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be what? Now, I've got a Bible, and I've got a King James Bible, amen? And I want to read that verse number 21 again. For where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Is that right? No, that's not right. It says, for where your treasure is, there will be your what? Heart also. Well, we're going to step on some toes now, right? Listen, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. You can't take it away. Listen, we have a responsibility to make sure that these treasures have our heart as a church. Listen, these kids know. They need to know that you love them no matter what. Where your treasure is. This is where our treasure is. These children are where our treasure is. Wave at me, Sarah. That's a treasure. And if I'm right with God, then my heart is going to be where my what? Treasure is. Now hope it hits home to you a little bit. Some of our treasures are not here. Sad. Some of your treasures are down at the Unity Bank of First and Trust. But I'm telling you, all of our treasures ought to be in here. They ought to be coming to this church. We ought to love them. We ought to take care of them, because where your treasure is, there is your what? Some of us don't really believe when we hear something the first time. That's us men. So let me show it to you, prove it to you again. Because the Bible is very consistent and it's very thorough in making sure that you understand that our treasure. Look at Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. I want you to believe the Word of God. I care less you believe me. I want you to believe the Word of God. Look what it says in Luke chapter number 12, verse number 34. For where your treasure is, there will your what? Be also. Twice. Same exact words. Bam. You like that? That's awesome, isn't it? Us men like that. Man, twice in a row. I got it now. Hey, guys. Are you the treasure? Guess whose heart's going to be there? All of us. All of us can be the treasure. First of all, preparing your treasure. Listen, we need to make sure that we take them from this school of Judah and they graduate to the University of Babylon in real life situations. Listen, at the academy, we're trying to make these kids understand that we want them to get out and be able to be socially active. We want to be able to get a job. We want to be able to get them to read. We want to be able to go to the College Board and sit down and be able to be accepted into the college. We want to be able to take an SAT test and be able to pass it. And they say, hey, welcome to our college. We ain't preparing these young people so they can go out in the real world and fail. Brother Jesse doesn't give all of his time and his effort and his sweat and his blood to these young people because he wants them to fail. We're doing it because we want them to succeed. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. First of all, prepare your treasured investment. Secondly, protect. Listen, you better protect them. If you don't protect them, you might as well put a millstone around your neck and go jump off a bridge. Protect these young people. Listen, I can go into detail, but I'm telling you, we live in a very, very sicko generation. We live in a generation where there's pedophiles, perverts. They would like nothing more better than to take your kid away and defile them. Now you look up in here, you look at me as strange as you want to. I'm going to tell you the truth. We live in a sick generation in the United States of America. Whether it be online or whether it be in real life. They'd love to take your kid and mess them up. We better protect them. We better make sure that we put a security around them. We better make sure that we build a hedge around them so they can't get them. I mean, there's men in here that say, if you mess with my family, guess what's going to happen to you? I love that we have the handgun concealed license. I love that our state representative was over there and Pastor's like, we got some guns. Pastor's got some guns at the house. I was talking to Josh the other day, scared to death to go over there and have spaghetti tonight. There's guns everywhere. Hey, we'll protect our family. You mess with my kid, you're in trouble. Listen, the devil will do nothing more to come here and take these kids away. While we sit back and we're like, well, I just don't want to offend anybody. Yeah, come after them. Come after our kids. See what happens. All right, thank you for two or three of you that want to protect your children. You better prepare your kids. You better prepare your treasured investments. Number two, you better protect your treasured investments. And lastly tonight, you better place your treasured investments. Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 44. It's the second to last scripture we're going to go to. Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 44. I love this verse. Man, I love this verse so much. Matthew chapter 13. Verse number 44. Now, kids, this is where I'm going to make it alive to you. Remember in chapel when we make it alive? Family time! Woo! The kids love family time. That's when we go over the rules and regulations and we take care of business during family time at church, at school. Here we go. Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 44. Hang on, you got 9 minutes. You guys love the countdown? How many love the countdown? Some of you ain't breathed since I started. Breathe. You're turning blue up in your throat there. All right? Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. Now, what's the treasure we're talking about tonight? Stand up real fast because we don't know. Hurry, come on. That's the treasure. Sit down. Stand up. Treasure. Sit down. Stand up. Treasure. Micah weighs 8 pounds. He's like, I can't stand up. That's a treasure. Now, there's some treasures out there, and every one of them are treasures. Victor, how you doing? You did so good on your speech this morning. Victor's a treasure. Everybody sit down but Victor. Man, it looks like all y'all still standing. Victor's a treasure. Let me tell you something. I don't think in my academy that I have anyone that has more of a sweet spirit than that big old Mexican boy right there. He's a treasure to me. Jaden, stand up. You're a treasure. Four of the people in the church think you're a treasure. I think you're a treasure. You ain't going to let nobody get her, are you, Shuler? No, sir. That's a treasure. I didn't tell you to sit down, Victor. Where's Reagan? That's a treasure right there. His mom and dad came and see me about 10 months ago, 8, 9 months ago. Said, do you know about the 1-3-5-3 plan? I have no idea about the 1-5-3 plan. It was a treasure to me. The Bible says, look at 1344. Just you relax. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a what? Treasure hid in a what? In a field. You guys can sit down. Hey, some of these kids, they may not look like treasures because they're hid in the field. But you wait till you find them. You wait for that moment when it finally clicks with them that God loves them. And you wait for that moment where they get saved. Woo! You wait for that moment when God calls them to preach. Hey! You wait for that moment when they find the right loving mate that's going to love them every day of their life. Hey! You wait till they stand up here and get married pure and clean. Hey! That's a treasure. Well, they're not a treasure when I got to spank them every other day. That's because they're hid. Hey, the greatest treasures are the one that you find. And you're like, whoa, that's a diamond in the rough. Look at Silas. Stand up, Silas. Look at him. Now, that's a cute boy right there. That's a handsome boy. That boy was the fattest baby you ever seen when he was a little baby. I'd hide quarters in his fat. And I'd send him out there to mama and say, hey, go make some change. He looked like the Michelin boy. That's a treasure. It's my treasure. That ought to be your treasure. I ain't done with the verse. Look at it. Look at Matthew chapter number 4. You sit down, Silas. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. When a man hath found, hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that what? Field. This man's out there looking for a treasure, and he finds it, and he gets so excited about finding that treasure that he goes out and he buys the whole field. I can't wait till we get excited about finding the treasures at Heritage Baptist Church that we're just going to buy the whole field, sell it all, because they're worth it. Sell everything that we have and say they're worth it. I don't care about bank accounts. I don't care about big houses. I don't care about nice cars. I care that our children turn out for God. They're treasures. You may look at them and think, well, they don't look like one. It's under there. Samantha Day, it's under there. Take your Bibles, the last scripture tonight. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Now, Brother Scott, if we do what you preach tonight, you know, they teach you in Bible school to preach and get people to make a decision, call to action. This is what I want for every young person that comes through these doors, 8 doors, 14 doors in this building. This is what we want. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast what? Young people, we're trying to teach you. You're our treasures. We're trying to teach you. We're trying to learn you. We're trying to educate you. But continue thou after you get out of the school of Judah and you get into the University of Babylon and you're in the real world. We want you to continue. You understand? Sarah, you understand? We want you to continue to do what we taught you to do. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. That's why repetition and Bible verses and preaching. And that's why you have all that. Bible classes for you. Over and over and over again. Repetition is the best teacher. We teach that in math. Do it over and over again until you finally learn it, right? We want you to continue those so you'll learn them. To be assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We taught you. We as a church have taught you to do what you're continuing to do. Verse number 4 to 15. And that from a child that thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. It was a blessing to see them little ones quote the Scripture tonight, this morning. Wasn't that a blessing? People can still do it. You know those four quadruplets that were up here? I still don't know their names. I subbed for her one day. She called off sick. Honestly, I was on the window ready to jump out. To end my life, because I don't know how they do it. Don't ever call off on me again. And then she comes back to you and says, will you give me a raise? Whatever you want. $1,000 a week, done. Just don't ever make me do that again. Hey, listen, they're up there. Her mama sends me a video. And it's her reciting the Lord's Prayer, that little tiny one. It doesn't get any better than that. I've watched it 25 times. That's amazing. We're teaching them those things. And from a child that thou hast learned the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Guys, we want to make you wise. Wisdom is knowledge in action. We can tell you everything we need to know and everything you need to learn, and you can learn it, but if you never put it into action, you're never going to have the wisdom. Which are able to make things wise unto salvation. That's our ultimate goal for you guys, is being saved. Salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Last one. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17. That the man of God, that's you, might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a responsibility to take these treasures and invest in them. Not when it just has my last name. It's not because Silas, Samantha, and Stephanie have the trademark name and they're my only treasure. No. My treasure is the Ratledges. My treasures is the Micahs. Woo. My treasures are the Day Boys. My treasures are the Cardenas. And I could go on and on and on, but I know I'm up to time. But I'm letting you know that everyone in our church, our responsibility is to make them our treasure. Now you say, Bro Scott, how can I do that? There are many ways. You can send them to the Christian Academy, that's great. You can homeschool, that's great. But you better keep them in church. You better keep them in Sunday school. You better keep them on the Word of God. You better keep them in front of people that love God. You say, listen, Bro Scott, I don't have any kids in the Academy. Listen, there's kids that want to come to the Academy, they don't have the money to come to the Academy. You could be one of those people who say, you know what, I'll sponsor a kid. I'll sponsor a treasure. I'll put some money forth to get a scholarship to a sponsor, to a kid, to a treasure. Listen, there's no greater investment in your life than investing in these young people. You can put $100,000 in a stock and a bond, and you go back a couple years later, and you may have lost it all. How many's lost money in the stock market before? How many's lost money in something else before? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to lose money in these treasures, because these are the only things we're going to take to heaven with us. A guy died. He wanted to be buried in his Corvette so he could drive it up to heaven. Hey, he ain't taking a Corvette with him. But we can take these young people. You better get on board with these treasures. You better start investing in these treasures. That means Bible reading and prayer and investing your life in these young people. You see somebody struggling, go pray with them. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You see a kid down here and you say, oh man, I need to go pray. You go pray with them. You take them out. Last story and I'll be done. We had a preacher not too long ago, about a month ago. Dad came to him in the office and he said, listen, he said, the preacher said, your kid's a rebel. He said, your kid is the devil. He says, your son is a son of Belial. And the guy across the desk from him said, you don't know my child. He got offensive. You don't know my child. He said, you don't even know my child. And the pastor right away got bucked up. And the man across the thing, he said, you know what? You never spent 1 minute with my kid. You don't know my child. That pastor got underneath conviction. Took the boy out for 2 days. Took him hunting. Took him out to eat. Invested some time into that kid. Let me tell you something, folks. These kids need to be treasured. And it's our responsibility to make them our treasures. Don't you send them off to somewhere else and they make them their treasures. It's our job. Don't negate our job to making these kids our treasures. And invest in them over and over and over and over again. Let's all stand together tonight. As pastor comes to the platform, he's going to do the invitation. Listen, the altar's open tonight. Young people, if I preach something tonight that the Holy Spirit convicted you, and listen, I didn't even go there because I don't have enough time, that you better be thankful to the people of Heritage Baptist Church that invest in you as their treasure. Don't you one day take for granted, look up in here, let me see your eyeballs, one day take for granted these people investing in you. Josh Crawford, you've been in ministry. Dad's been in ministry for years. Micah, there's many people that invested in you. You better be thankful for it. Church, invest in these kids. Your eternal dividend is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you help us tonight. Lord, if there's something that has, the Holy Spirit has come down and convicted, I pray that we'd get right tonight. And Lord, I pray as these adults, what an amazing church that we have, that have loved people. This is nothing new to them. But Lord, I just want to be an encouragement and edify them tonight and realize that these treasures are so worth every dime that we put into them, every dollar that we put into them, every hour, every minute that we put into them. And Father, help us to always remember that our treasure is in heaven. Lay not up for the treasures on earth, but in heaven. And Father, we'll give you all the praise and honor and glory for it tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, Pastor.
Amen. Him, Father.